It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott sitting in the house with us, as he does each and every Monday and Friday. It's time to talk about what's coming up this weekend, and there's a lot going on. We're going to talk about the Short Track Nationals. Kyle Larson picks up the Hillbilly 100 last night, or Hillbilly 100. They don't call it the 100, do they, Kirk? They call it the 100. Hillbilly 100.
Yeah. Hillbilly 100.
100.
Spell it out. Not, spell the 100 out.
Spell the 100 out. Do not make it a 100.
This is a race that was postponed from Labor Day weekend, rescheduled for last night, and Kyle Larson looked at that and said, I got a race in that thing. I got to go check that out.
Yeah. Pretty good race last night with Kyle Larson as well at the Hillbilly 100. He started on the front row outside, started second. For the most part, he led about every lap, but Brandon Shepherd was putting some pretty good pressure on him there at the end of the race. And I think I'm with you, Kirk. I think we were talking a little bit before the show started that he was in heavy lap traffic, coming up on heavy lap traffic. And it looked like Brandon Shepherd might be able to make some moves in there and get in there and try to make a move around Kyle Larson. But the yellow come out, and that timing on those yellows was bad for Kyle Larson, wasn't it?
It was good for Kyle Larson, bad for Brandon Shepherd. Yeah, the yellows came out at the wrong time for Brandon Shepherd to try to make a move. And, you know, Larson said as much after the race, that might be the luckiest race I've ever been in. Everything just laid out. He couldn't run the bottom very well, so he had to go to the top. And just getting around that lap traffic was the key to that race, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, that's not the story of the day, to be honest with you. I think the story of the day is last night at Little Rock, Arkansas. I think Aaron Reitzel picking up the win there last night. But where do we start on the broadcast, to be honest with you? Gosh almighty. Was that about as bad a broadcast as you've seen in a long time? Anybody? Anybody out there that is watching right now, if you watched the Short Track Nationals last night, that's got to be one of the worst broadcasts we've seen with the Lucas Oil ASES National Tour broadcast in quite some time.
Well, I don't know. They had I've seen worse. I mean, it's they had some audio issues, it sounded like. I was getting the PA out of one side instead of both sides, and I had to put my headphones on to listen to the PA last night, but no, I've seen worse.
Yeah,
I mean that. I think the race is what we talk about. I mean, we got through it. I've seen better, for sure, but I've seen worse for sure.
Austin, in your opinion, was that the worst one you've seen of the year?
Of the year by far. You know, we turn on the broadcast and we have no sound.
Right,
and that's.
Screen goes black.
Yeah, well, the no sound, that lasted for a little bit. They got that fixed. They had issues with the cameras for almost half the broadcast we watched on the backstretch, and then we went to the front stretch and back to the backstretch and back to the front stretch where we ended. That's fine. I mean, camera angle's camera angle. Mm-hmm. If we're seeing the races, that's all I'm fine with.
Right.
I wish they would have used two cameras. I think that would have really, if they had both cameras set up there, I don't know why you didn't use them. And then the worst part of the night was during the B mains, and there was a B main. I think it might have been the first or the second one.
Is that the one that Blake was in when he had the left rear flat?
Yeah. So the first start, Blake and Colton Hardy are on the front row, and they make some contact right at the flag stand and
knocks down a tire.
Then this was the first start, and that was fine. And the car spun, came back, ran it over again, and you knew after the first start that something was going to go down between Blake and Colton Hardy.
Yeah.
Just the way Colton was taken off on the start, he was super close to Blake and was going to cause an issue. And we roll into three, coming to the green, screen goes black, no sound, lose everything. Yeah. Only that's up is the ticker and the graphics. And, of course, we missed one of the most interesting parts of the B mains. And, you know, I guess there was contact made between both cars and it knocked Blake's left rear down and took Blake's chances of making the show completely out. I mean, he had to go from like 12th or 13th in the B to run it up to 4th. And, I mean, he had one of the fastest cars and didn't make it. And, you know, that was just... That was probably the worst part, and that wasn't the only time.
The fans were disappointed in
that,
no doubt,
too. I mean, that wasn't the first time or the only time that they had a camera issue. Cameras were going on and off, and you would hear, a disconnecting sound, like on the Windows program.
Right.
Throughout the broadcast. And
the graphics stayed up, though.
The graphics stayed up, but I don't care about the graphics. I'd rather watch the race than look at graphics. It just... and then the audio issue was pretty bad. I mean, I was sitting on my computer after I was you know, sim racing and all that, and I had my headphones on, and I had my audio cranked on the broadcast, cranked on my headphones, and it was only coming out of the right ear, and I could hardly hear it, and I got good hearing. So for anybody that's older than me that has
bad hearing,
I feel bad for you. Kirk, yeah, and I guess somehow Kirk heard it.
I had to wear headphones to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, we were in this business a long time. We had bad nights, too. So, you know, it is what it is.
There's no doubt.
I hope it's better tonight. That's all I can say.
But let me just say this. It's been consistently this way for the entire year, to be honest with you.
And I hate that. I hate to see that.
And again, I'm only saying this because... I've got 13 years worth of hard work involved with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. I got 13 years involved in that. And I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of hard work over those 13 years of doing those broadcasts. And so when it gets handed off to somebody else and you don't see it in the right light, I should say, it bothers you. You know, for me personally, my biggest problem with anything is the dead air. I have a problem with that. And last night, Austin, what did we see? We saw another incident where Flo keeps the cameras on a car when a driver's injured, didn't we?
Yeah, and...
he was just dinged a little bit. He ended up getting out of the car, but... Pull the goddamn camera off of the car.
Now, I'm going to go back to what I said on Monday, and I agree last night was a situation where the camera did not need to be on the car, and you might be like, well, you didn't agree with that or agree with that statement after Ford Crown, and the situation was different. So the attitude and the atmosphere around Buddy's car was calm, and there was no urgency going on. It was just waiting for Buddy to get out of the car because,
right.
I mean, that was a hard hit, we'll be honest. And
that was
the
a
crash,
nasty one. Yeah.
To crash anything open wheel, it's hurt. It's hard. I mean, with no suspension travel, it makes it even worse.
Right.
But what we saw last night with Cody Gardner was that I knew when the car had, it wasn't a really hard landing, but the way it landed flat, that it was going to hurt, and he was going to have some back pain after that. I'm not sure if he does today or not. I would be surprised if he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you could tell by the attitude around the car with the safety workers that, he was hurt and didn't was needing some extra assistance.
It was
and
obvious, wasn't it?
It was very obvious.
It was
and,
obvious.
You know, they had the wing back off the car and guys were standing on the Nerf bar on the right rear in the car and people were around it. So at that point, you know the situation is different from what we saw at Fort Crown, and that's when you need to pull the camera off the car.
Right. Let me ask Nina this, because you know there's nobody's opinion that I appreciate more than Nina, right? Nina Jennington's on there, and I know she's watching the show right now. Nina, would you prefer the camera to stay on the car if your grandson was injured in the wreck, or would you not want to see what's going on? You know, that's the key to all of this. You know, the family members, they probably want to watch what's happening, right? But for the average fan, I don't think the average fan wants to see somebody injured. Anybody agree or disagree with me on that, Kirk? Oh. What do you think? Go ahead, Austin.
No, I think it's just more of a respect level to everybody involved. You know, I definitely think if you know, I had family sitting at home that they would like to know what's going on. But, you know, if there's a situation where, you know, you are injured, that's also goes back to the safety crew, the safety workers, the track crew, and the announcers need to have some communication and give the fans watching an update what's going on. Say something, and they did a pretty good job last night. They had a couple flips, and they did say, you know, they were okay.
Brian and Ben do a great job together.
Yes,
yeah, and they can't take anything away from them.
No, they get it, and right. they did a good job. So, you know, I think it could just, you know, go back to, you know, just getting the announcers to do their job and their part in this.
Any thoughts there, Kirk, on
that? No, I agree. Ben and Brian are pros. They know how to handle situations like this, and when they have something to update, they update. But in that kind of a circumstance, and I agree with Austin last night, that circumstance seemed a little bit more dire than what we saw at Eldora Speedway last weekend. But just try to keep fans as updated as possible. Pull the camera back, you know. I don't think you need to be zoomed in on what's going on, but
Nina chimed in. She said, "No way, I would want the camera on it. I don't like to see them leave the camera on a wreck. But if it's your own,
if it's your own family,
you want to see what's going on.
Absolutely,
yeah, I get that part. Yeah,
but you know, you just got to be respectful of everybody on that kind of a circumstance. Most people are. Most of these broadcasts do a
good job of that. Dirt Vision's the best at keeping the cameras off of the wrecks.
So
they're absolutely the best. What'd you guys think of that race last night? Aaron Reitzel kind of stuck up the show a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, starting up front, led the whole way, and was riding that cushion to perfection last night. He wasn't to be denied.
Austin,
last night.
That cushion, it had a little edge to it, didn't it, last night? But you said in the B mains it was even taller than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I had to turn the broadcast off after the B mains. I couldn't take it anymore. And so I turned it off, and I came back and watched it today, and it looks like
they did a better job in the A main.
Scotty went out there and during one of the reds and was trying to give us a height on it, and he said about 6 to 9 inches tall. I mean, it was big. It was a curb, and if you hit it wrong like Cody Gardner did, you were going to go for a ride, and unfortunately he did. But I think if they maybe would have left it up, it would have been interesting to see how the racing would have been in the feature, because, you know, the feature, they knocked it down and guys were able to really, you know, lay into it and get runs like Ryan Timms was, and you know, Aaron was doing it too, but everybody else kind of migrated to the bottom, and you know, with everybody being on the curb in the heat races and the B, allowing it one to get big, it also just made it super slick, like right where the right rears and the left rears would be on the curb. And it was good early on, but as more cars ran on it throughout the feature, it got so slick. Even though you were laid up on something, you just had no left rear driving, and you're just sitting there spinning the left rear going really nowhere.
And if you hit it wrong, it'd throw the front end, right?
That, a little bit. It wasn't. If you hit it wrong, you could get out of it in the feature, but that's why we saw the bottom get so good at the end of the race. But, I mean, if you're Aaron Reitzel and you're out in clean air, it doesn't really matter if you're what line you're on. I mean, if you can keep momentum up and keep pace, I mean, he did the right thing and never left the top.
So, at this point, I've got to go through some drivers that I thought. Wayne Johnson, he kind of gave Aaron a little bit of a run there at the start of the race, but he kind of faded and ended up running fourth. But the guy I think to keep an eye on is Ryan Timms.
Absolutely. You took the words right out of my mouth.
He started 13th, and he ended up running 5th last night, and he was ripping the lip pretty big up there. What do you think, Austin, about Ryan Timms and his chances of winning this weekend?
I think it's a good chance. If we see a track like we saw last night on Saturday and tonight, he'll be good. If it's not, I don't think – I mean, he'll be all right. I don't think he'll be as impressive as he was last night. It was just last night was a Ryan Timms track, and if he doesn't have to run a B, he might be right there with Aaron walking away with this thing. I think he's going to be, you know, really, really tough to beat any time you get a curb to lay on, and any of these 410 guys. I mean, look at – he was good before he left and went 410 racing.
Yeah.
And look how much better he is, you know, after he came back after spending what, at the end of August, so almost a month and a half with just 410 racing two or three nights a week.
Right. Things slow down a little bit when you get
back. Just imagine.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I haven't ran a 410 yet, but I know the feeling, what it was like going from short track racing to a half mile, and then coming back from a half mile to a short track, how much everything slowed down. I couldn't imagine what it would feel like getting just a month and a half of straight 410 racing, coming back to 360s, and how much slower and how much more in control you feel of your race car.
You know, I want to give a big shout out to Jordan Mallett. Don't count out Jordan Mallett. He knows how to get around that racetrack really good. He finished third last night.
He ran well down there last year, didn't he?
He led some laps, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. He should have. He should have won. He just made. I think he the top came in late in the race, and he was still kind of committed to the bottom, and it left the door open for Blake, and Blake never left the top, and got around him with a handful of laps to go.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back and see where he finished from last year. If you guys could just fill for a second for me, and I'm gonna try to find that out.
Well, like Reitzel, who ran that cushion last night, Ryan Timms was not afraid to do that either. After starting 13th and ended up fifth, it was great seeing him race that cushion last night.
Jordan Mallett was third last year.
Yeah, and he definitely had a chance to win that race a year ago, as I recall. Started sixth, ended up third last night. And just ahead of Wayne Johnson, Derek Hager, another driver that you can always keep your eye on down there. And, of course, we'll see Tim Crawley over the next couple of nights. Not so good of a night, but he was racing a different car last night, wasn't he, Crawley?
Yeah, he was he was in a throwback car to one of the cars he used to race back in the day. I'm not sure what year it was.
It was probably a Mike Ward car. You know, he drove for Mike Ward for many years.
Yeah, it was a blue 87.
Yeah,
no blue doubt. And silver.
He started 16th. He ran 17th last night. That wasn't a very good run for him. So
yeah, he pulled off a handful of laps into the feature.
No sense putting wear and tear on the equipment, right?
He'll be back in his own race car tonight.
He'll be
a lot better.
No sense putting wear and tear on your equipment.
Yeah,
if you're
running sixth, where'd he start?
He started 16th. Yep. He runs 17th. There's no sense putting your wear and tear on your motor.
No, and you're gonna have to run 12th. For regional race. Yeah, about 12th to make any more money than your start money. So, yeah, he got through the hardest part of the night, and that was the B main, and he won that or ran second. And yeah, and the way the track was, that far back in traffic, you weren't gonna make a lot of gains. So yeah, it was. Veteran move on him to just load his stuff up, come back tonight, and race for the big dance tomorrow night.
Hey, we need to give a little bit of a shout out to Garrett Williamson, right? He started 18th last night and ran 8th.
Good run.
That's a nice run by Garrett Williamson, right?
Yeah, it was a good run for Garrett. He's one of the fastest cars I think we have right now. To see him get stuck in a B main was probably not what they wanted, but he got lucky. We had two cars get together on the first lap with Mark Smith and Justin Sanders get upside down, and actually Howard Moore caused that. He broke on the back stretch, so there's three cars out of the race. Crawley pulled off, and a couple other cars pulled off. So Garrett was just kind of lucky there. He got about five spots just handed to him, and then Garrett's really good, kind of like how Tim's is when the track's it's a big curve, and it's just kind of cowboy up and just let it all hang out. And, he was able to kind of do that and get a decent finish from last night.
Garrett Williamson coming off a win last Sunday night at Quincy, Illinois, in the Sprint Invaders heading into this event.
Yeah. Ethan says, do they leave lap cars in between on the restarts? They did, didn't they? Do you think that caused you think that helped Aaron Reitzel win? You think Sam might have had a chance to put some pressure on him if he didn't have those lap cars in between him?
Well, I think it allows everybody behind him, for the first two or three spots behind him, to have a shot.
Do you like that rule, Austin?
No, because I what ASCS always says is, well, if the leader has to pass him, you have to pass him too. That's fine, but the race is going to be awful after that. I mean, you're going to have, like this, Aaron was by himself, and he had three or four lap cars on a narrow track. Then you had Sam and Wayne behind him, and you took the race. The race was over when what lap that yellow come out. Well, whenever that yellow came out, that race was over because there was no shot that those two behind Aaron could get to him because they had to go through lap traffic. And you know, I think they're just. I don't like it. I mean, I don't know. I just don't. I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah.
Let us race. Yellow comes out. Just give us a reset, and give us a shot.
You know, that's maybe one of the things over the years that maybe I'm not the biggest fan of.
Get the lap cars out of there.
Right, but I do understand what they're saying. That if the leader has to pass those guys, then the guy running second should have to pass those guys as well. I kind of understand that a little bit. But if I had it my way, I'd take the lap cars out of there.
I mean, it killed that race all it did. I mean, it could have been a really exciting finish, and it was nothing. I mean, it's just and that's what we're seeing is there's a lot of little things inside of ASCS that need to be changed, and we're starting to see a little bit of that happen when after Terry took over. But it's just years and years of never going back and reviewing rules or just rules in general and allowing things to evolve and change.
Do you think that because Ethan says that screwed Ryan Timms in his opinion? Do you think that Ryan might have had a little bit of a chance to win that race if those lap cars wouldn't have been in there?
Yeah, because if you look at where kind of Sam and Wayne were running, they're running the bottom, and Timms was the only car.
Right.
I feel like that was committed just to the top. We take off, those two go to the bottom. There's clean track right there for Timms. Timms runs the cushion and gets a good run off of two. He's driving by both of them on the backstretch.
I look at yellow flags as an opportunity to reset the race. And it's much like, I was kind of slow to come with the double file restarts, but I look at it as an opportunity to reset the race and change the complexion of it. Get the lap cars out of there, and I think you create more excitement.
I think I could speak for Austin on this. I think Austin would just soon see run single file restarts, wouldn't you, Austin?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't mean to speak for you, but
no,
we were talking about it earlier, and you said that, right?
Just go single file. Yeah. Just single file and send the lap cars to the tail. I always remember, I get the racing's a little different, but when we had a karting series and the way I grew up in racing was if you got lapped, you're done. Like, your race was over. You were kicked off the track, and you let the leaders race their race.
Yeah. Go-kart, if you got lapped, you were done.
You were done.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean,
I wouldn't like that.
That didn't happen to you very often, did it, Austin?
No. Come on, I'm not going to admit that. But, no, it just allows the leaders to race, and you don't have to. I mean, if you're having a bad day, I don't want you to have a bad day. Your bad day affect my good day.
Yeah. Angie Battles, one of my favorite people, she says, I see it both ways. If my kid was leading, I'd want cars in there. Yeah, right? I mean,
if you're the
leader, you would definitely want the lap cars in between there. But if you're the guy running second and you had three cars in between you and the leader, you wouldn't like that much either.
But as a nonpartisan fan that I am most of the time that doesn't care who wins, unless Austin's out there on the racetrack, then I'd feel different. But I just want to see the most exciting race we can. So that's where the double file restarts come in and getting the lap cars out of there.
Yeah, well, listen, we're only just talking about opinions here, and that's what it really is all about, right? We all have opinions, and they can all differ. They don't have to be the same. We can all just share our opinions. They're like, everybody's got one, right? And we're just entitled to our opinions, and we're not saying that they need to change anything. We're just saying this is our opinion about what we thought, what we saw, right? That's all we're talking about here.
Yeah,
we're not trying to slam anybody here.
No,
right?
And like I said, I mean, I mentioned it just a little bit ago that there has changes been made since Terry taking over the series, and it's all been in the right direction. So, it's gonna, like he said a couple times, it's gonna take him a little bit to get it right, but at least he's making the effort. to get it to that point. I mean, it might take a year, it might take 2 years, but at least he's making the effort to get to that point at some time.
I want nothing more than for success for Terry Maddox.
Yeah, he wants to do the right thing.
I'm a huge fan of Terry. He might not be as big a fan of mine because some of the things I say on the show, but I'm just saying that I'm a huge fan of Terry. I've always pulled for him. I'll just say it. Back in the day when Fuzzy was still alive, I used to tell Fuzzy all the time, Terry Maddox is your guy. He's the guy you need to take over this series. He's a young guy. He can do it for 25 or 30 years. Don't get some old guy like myself to get in there. You know, there was a moment there that when I thought me and Spire Sports and Entertainment were going to get in there and make a purchase of the ASCS. But Terry, he's so passionate about what he does. And he's not afraid of work. And Angie's not afraid of work. They are a great team, those two are.
And they've got a lot of integrity, and they're out to do the right thing. They don't care who wins these races.
We are absolutely 100% behind Terry Maddox.
Absolutely.
But we're entitled to our opinion as well, right? So, all right, let's take a break here real quick, Austin. Let's do that. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. Let you call in. We'd love for you to call in. Give us your takes on whatever you saw on TV last night. And we'll do that next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with Kirk Elliott, Austin O'Neill. We want to remind everybody that the great track tribute that's going on, it's only going to be going on through October 1st up here at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You got to get up there and see it. It is one of the best track tributes I've ever seen up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, just off of Turn 2 at Knoxville Raceway. You need to get up there and check it out. They've got so many cool things up there, helmets, driver uniforms, videos, memorabilia from Ascot Park on display as well. They've also got a bunch of race cars up there that raced back in the day at Ascot Park. It is such a great exhibit, folks, but you only have till October 1st to get up there and see it, Kirk.
Today and tomorrow, is that it?
That's it.
2 days?
2 days. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was well worth doing, but you're going to see it. You better see it quick.
You better get up there fast.
They got that new Corvette for next year up there, too.
Do they have the new one in?
I don't know if they actually got it in the Hall of Fame yet, but they're definitely selling tickets to it.
Kirk, don't misspeak.
I don't know if it's up there or not, but they're selling tickets for the new Corvette next year.
Let's not say that it's there.
I didn't say it was there. I don't know.
You did say it was there.
No, I said...
You said the new Corvette is there.
Well, let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
I said that they are selling tickets for
the new Corvette.
2023 Corvette for next year.
Yeah.
And also the Sprint Car raffle that will be drawn for in December.
Yeah. Well, that ought to be good. I can't wait to buy some more raffle tickets for that Corvette. Yeah. We bought a couple hundred, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
So
we didn't win it either. You know, I think if you're going to buy that Corvette, you're going to have to buy somewhere about 1,000 tickets to have a chance. I wonder if the guy that won, if he had one ticket or not.
Yeah, you'd like to know. How many tickets should you buy
How
to win
many
that?
Tickets did he buy? That's what I'd like to know. All right, the phone lines are open, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. Give us a call now on the show. We'd like to hear from you. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you want to talk about. It doesn't even have to be motorsports, to be honest with you, because this is mostly motorsports. And we don't mind getting a little bit off topic once in a while. So give us a call, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. Does this make Aaron Reitzel the favorite for the Short Track Nationals, you guys think?
I think he's one of the favorites.
No, Kirk.
I don't think.
That was not the question.
No, I don't think he is
the favorite. The question is he the favorite?
No, not the one favorite. I'm not going to say that.
What do you?
Because there are others that will play a role here.
What do you think, Austin? Does that make him the favorite?
If I went down there and won last night, would I be the favorite?
Not necessarily.
Then no. Mm.
I would be pulling for you, though.
Yeah, but you're. I feel like you're just basing it off of if you win, you're a favorite. So, I mean, I think you have speed if you can win, but I don't.
He's not the favorite.
Yes, there you go, Kirk. There's probably 5 to 8 that could have a legit shot at winning.
Yeah. All right. A-Ron is on a mission, says Bob Simmons. Bob, how you doing down there, my friend? Been a long time since I've seen you. Love to run into you. Are you going to be at the Short Track Nationals, Bob? You going to come up there and hang out a little bit? Haven't seen you in a long time, my friend. Love to run into you. Bob's a good man. Can't wait to see him again. So, so what's the quarterback's name for the Miami Dolphins?
Tua is what I call him.
Tua.
I can't say the whole name.
I can't say his last name.
Tua is what I call
him. And Alex Bowman, NASCAR, put concussion protocols in the news yesterday.
Now that's a big story. You know, we talked to Kevin Harvick a couple of weeks ago at Kansas Speedway, and he laid it out just how unsafe these cars are. Still got the sound bite. And he says anytime you get hit in one of these race cars, it hurts. And he talked about even the Hans device locked up when he took what he thought was a not-so-hard a hit at Sonoma, California. In the old car, it wouldn't have been a hard hit, but it locked up his Hans device. And he was only going, 50 miles an hour or something like that?
It locked up his Hans device.
That's what he said.
Is that more of a problem with the Hans device, or is that more of a problem with...
I think that says you've been hit hard.
Austin, what do you think?
Well, you shouldn't be hit that hard.
I take it as if you're locking your Hans device up, then your head's moving farther...
Too far forward
to where it's the tethers are...
Stretched out.
At its limit.
Mm-hmm.
And you go any farther forward, now you're pulling your chest against the belt. So, yeah, I mean, you're hitting harder. Now I'll pull the in-car video up of Bowman's wreck, and I mean it wasn't a hard.
Did it stretch his neck a little bit?
Well, watch his neck compress and go back. I'll see if I can get an in-car video of it. I think it should be coming up in the next round of replays. But yeah, I mean that wreck was nothing.
Was it at Texas where he had the problem?
Yep.
Yes.
But that didn't even look like much of a wreck.
Just watch his head.
That was the point Harvick was trying to make.
It was NASCAR Race Hub had it slowed down. I'll try and find their video at like quarter speed and his head goes back, down, up, and back again. And it's too fast to notice it.
That looked like a minor wreck right there, didn't it?
That's the product of your next-gen cars.
But yet he's under the concussion protocol now, and he's got to sit out this Sunday at Talladega.
Wow.
A playoff driver. He's done. We've already got Kurt Busch that's set out for 10 weeks now. What's the next driver that's going to get a concussion? Are we putting these drivers in unsafe positions in these race cars?
Let me tell you.
I kind of think we are.
Lee Spencer has a great column up on Racing Boys right now. Alex Bowman's concussion evaluates concern about safety of next-gen car. It's a great read, folks. Get on Racing Boys, go to the Scoop page, and read this story that Lee Spencer has written. It is a really good read, so you need to read it and check it out. Lee has got her pulse on the community down there. She knows.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Here's my problem with all of this. Last year's car was so safe. And all they did is taken, 5 steps? How many steps backwards have they taken, you think?
Too many.
Yeah.
Well, now you got to go back and you think, did they not do enough testing with these cars before they rolled it out? At the beginning of this year, should they have gone another year of testing these race cars, make sure they're safe before they debuted this next-gen car back in January?
That wreck didn't look like anything.
Well, NASCAR was already had themselves in a 6-foot hole because they announced that these cars were going to come out last year, and then with 2020 happening, it pushed it back to this year, and then they already committed to it and they couldn't back out, so now they're. Now they're forced to get a product out in front of the fans and the teams that they don't have a sufficient amount of time of testing on it and R&D. And your test time is a critical race time. And I was talking with some friends last night about you know, looking at this week's races. And I mean, I hope this week is nobody gets hurt, but one of these super speedway races, someone will get hurt, and it's going to change this next gen car and NASCAR for a while.
Yeah, who's the next driver to go under concussion protocol?
I hope no. I mean, Cody Ware probably, but I mean, I hope no one gets seriously injured, but it will happen at some point with this.
It's going to happen, right?
It's going to happen.
It's definitely going to happen. And let's just hope that we don't lose a driver because of this race car.
Well, the rumor was for a while they kept killing test dummies and simulator wrecks. But that
really
that was going around for a while at the end of last year, and NASCAR would not make a comment on it.
Well, here we go. You're doing a his head did go back a little bit, didn't it?
I mean, enough to move his visor around and
his visor popped up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he has an Arai helmet, which the seal on it's really tight, and the latch is super tight. So for it to move that much, it was a hard hit.
Kevin Harvick, that little gaggle, we were with him at Kansas Speedway here a couple of weeks ago. He kept saying, well, NASCAR says the data doesn't show that it's any different than the old car. And Harvick said, well, I'm here to tell you it is, that you don't want to take a hit in these cars, because whenever you get hit in this new car, it hurts. And not only Harvick is saying it, all the drivers are saying it.
It's terrible, man. We're taking a step.
What are you going to do now? You can't go back to the old car. Those cars are gone. Outside of stopping the whole season until you get the car safe, I don't know what you're going to do. Press on and see who the next driver gets a concussion.
You know what NASCAR is going to do? They're going to keep their fingers crossed that nobody gets hurt between now and the end of the season, and they're going to try to make some improvements over the winter. Anybody disagree with me on that?
That's what they're going to do. But is that what you want to hear from a sanctioning body? That, well, we hope and pray somebody doesn't get killed.
Kurt, what else can they do?
What else can you do outside of stopping the whole season?
You can't.
And they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that.
No.
That's not happening.
So the next question is, and this is what some of the drivers are saying, is our safety of paramount importance, or is it the finances of NASCAR more important? Is the money more important, or our safety more important?
Well, here's what I do know about these cars. Because, you know, TJ is a good friend of mine over at Spire Sports and Entertainment. He said those cars cost $330,000 to build. $330,000 it cost to build one of those cars.
And each team doesn't have.
When I look at that car,
it
looks like it shouldn't cost $150,000 to build it, to be honest with you. You ever seen one, Austin, up close?
I mean, if it's the old Cup car, then yeah. But
no,
you have,
it's not an old Cup car. It doesn't look anything like the old Cup cars.
If it was an old Cup car, then it should cost about that amount. But with this new wannabe sports car, it's going to cost more. That's all it is. It's a wannabe sports car.
Yeah. It's kind of a road racing car, isn't
it? I mean, you looked at the innards of one of these cars up close at where it was at PRI show last year.
Yeah.
You took a look at, you know, without the body on top of it. You told us that, you know, there's a lot of components in this race car.
I wasn't impressed by it.
It's a lot different than the old car.
Yeah. I was definitely not impressed by it. It just looked... It looked like, to me, it didn't look like it was strong enough. It didn't look like it would take a good enough hit. But obviously, these guys are saying they're too rigid. And we remember back in the day, when was it, Kirk, back when the Featherlite Modifieds, when all those drivers got killed? You remember what year that was?
That's
80s?
I remember when Richie Evans got killed.
But
when was that?
Remember, there was like four drivers got killed in one year because those cars were too rigid. And they went in there and they fixed those cars. Maybe they need to go to Featherlite Modified Series and ask them what they did to make those cars not as rigid.
I thought Kevin Harvick brought up a good point. He says, why aren't the teams involved in fixing these problems? Let the teams figure it out. Instead of trying to get a one-size-fit-all for everybody, you've got the people in the garage area that can figure this stuff out. Let them figure it out. But the biggest point he was making, that we're not fixing this as quickly as we should.
Right.
They've been talking about it all year.
Yeah.
All season long, the drivers have been complaining about it.
Ethan said, according to Lee's article, it was basically like no testing. Did they ever do any crash tests on these cars?
Not enough.
Did they do any?
Not.
Do you know? Kurt,
very minimal. Very minimal amount of crash testing.
Where did you read they did crash testing?
Where did you read it? Lee has written about it.
They did some crash testing?
When they were testing the race car, they did some crash testing at that time, but not enough.
I've never heard of any crash testing done. So maybe we'll ask Lee tomorrow on Track Talk. Get her opinion on it.
This is a big deal. I don't know. You just hope and pray nobody else gets seriously injured before the end of the season, then maybe take the off season and figure this out. They're certainly not going to solve this problem before the end of the season.
Dangerous situation this weekend at Talladega. No doubt about
it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to take our final break of the show. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'd love for you to call in, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. If you'd like to call, we'd like to hear from you. Again, it's Mostly Motorsports. You can talk about anything that you'd like to talk about. It doesn't matter what it is. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment.
it works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. Mostly Motorsports. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I'm still trying to get over this cold.
You know, me too. You know, this bad...
That thing's hanging on, isn't it, Kurt?
It's been going around. I thought I was completely over it a week ago, and then it somehow came back.
I know it.
Have you read anything like that? I mean, just, you think you're completely over it.
I thought the bug comes back. Yeah. I'm
with you.
At least
that's what it is with me.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it's hard to shake.
It is. It's
Deidre got it. You had it. I don't think Austin's got
it yet. Austin never did get it.
You don't want to get it either. No. Uh-uh. So, but, hey, that you know, that flow broadcast at West Virginia last night, that was a good broadcast with that Hillbilly 100.
Oh,
I enjoyed
that. That was a good race. Yeah,
good racing.
For sure.
Good
yeah.
broadcast. They did a great job with that.
Yeah, Kyle Larson beat Brandon Shepherd and Garrett Albertson to the line. Those are your top three finishers last night. Tim McCready and Josh Richards finished fourth and fifth. Our boy Mike Muller, he finished sixth last night. He started 15th.
He had to come
15th.
From the back, too.
Started 15th.
Yeah. Then he had to go to the back and come back and get that finish.
Yeah.
So, but we haven't seen Kyle Larson in a late model Mutz this year.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't.
I think Fairbury for the Prairie Dirt Track Classic, he
you know
won
how much
a preliminary
that
night that
you,
weekend.
You know how much that race paid last night, Kurt?
$30,000.
Isn't that crazy? And it paid, what did it pay to start?
I didn't see what it paid to start. But it was
paid
pretty 12, good action.
Paid $1,200 to start.
You'd think Larson, who led all 100 laps of that race, it'd be kind of boring, but it wasn't. Shepherd gave him a pretty good go there for much of that race.
Who do we got there, Austin?
Frog.
It's Frog? All right, let's go to Frog. He's calling in. Hey, Froggy. How you doing, Frog?
Hey.
What do you know?
How are you?
We're doing all right. How you doing?
Yeah, for some reason, I got a volume problem.
We got a bad connection with Frog.
Can you hear us, Frog?
I can't hear him at all now.
All right, let's put him on hold and see if we can get him a little better connection there, Austin.
I couldn't hear what he's had to say.
I couldn't hear. Frog.
He's usually got a lot to say.
Yeah. Frog's always got good opinions.
We'll see if we get a better connection with him. Sweet Springs is hosting two nights of Power Eye Midgets this weekend, tonight and tomorrow night. And then we see the USAC Sprint Cars are at Kokomo tonight. I think that's one of the last races before they have all those big events out on the West Coast coming up.
I'm watching my dog walk around, my little puppy.
She's a cutie. Bristol.
Hopefully she won't have an accident while we're on the air.
As if that hadn't happened before, right?
It's happened. Yeah, for sure. I thought last night's race was pretty good with Kyle Larson. I thought it was a pretty good broadcast. I didn't see any hiccups there. You know, the problem is they're contracting this ASCS National Tour broadcast
It's not actually Flo.
It's not Flo. It's Race on Texas.
Race on Texas produces that broadcast and sends it to Flo. That's the way that works.
Well, here's the problem. The real problem with all that is that we are spoiled rotten because we had Jeff Christensen traveling with us up and down the road for the last 7 years that we did those broadcasts, and there was nobody better than Jeff.
Oh, he was the best.
He's absolutely the best in the business. Now, I don't mean to take anything
away. He is
away.
The best. He's still working.
I don't mean to take anything away from people like Jeff Converse, Dean Mills.
Those guys are good, too.
But they're great. They're the very best. The very best in the business is Jeff Christensen, Dean Mills, Jeff Converse. Those are the best.
We had all those guys working with us down at the Chili Bowl all those years.
All those years we had them work for us. And Jeff, I'll just say it, I'm a little emotionally attached to Jeff. So Jeff, in my eyes, is the very best.
Jeff Christensen.
Yeah.
He's, for a one-camera shoot.
He does it as good as anybody.
He covers it about as well as anybody.
Nobody does it better than Jeff Christensen. And listen. The three of them together, Jeff Converse, Dean Mills, Jeff Christensen, they're all on the same level, right?
Yeah.
They're all excellent at what they
do.
And
we work with some others besides those that are really good camera operators too. Guys like Michael Jackson and
Michael Jackson's very good.
I'm thinking of names up off the top of my head right now.
Yeah.
You know, we've worked with a lot of good camera operators, and you really realize how good these guys are when you try to do it yourself. Like,
yeah.
You're much better at it than I am. Well, I go out there and try to run a camera. You really appreciate how good those guys are.
The only reason I know how to shoot is because I watch Jeff Christensen enough.
Yeah.
That's why, to be honest with you. I don't mind shooting video. I don't mind doing it at all. In fact, I enjoy doing it.
You do a good job.
Yeah, I'd like to do it. I would do more of it if I could.
You're not as good as those guys.
Not
you do
as
a good,
good
job.
As those guys, no. No doubt.
But it is almost an art to running those cameras.
It is an art.
Really doing a good job. They make it look so easy. And, you know, they're the behind-scenes guys on all these video broadcasts that you never hear the names of often enough. But it takes a pretty good crew of people to make this happen. Not just one person to make a live broadcast work good. It takes a team of people all working together to make it all happen.
We had a pretty good team.
Yeah. But we made mistakes like everybody else.
There's
some nights we didn't have good nights either, you know?
Hey, listen. It just happens sometimes when you get out in rural areas or whatever and you have internet issues and you can't get connected or whatnot. It happens.
So we had our bad nights, too.
Well, every now and again we did.
I'm just a little...
But we had more good nights than we had bad.
Right. I'm just a little leery of pointing fingers, having been doing that.
Because you're not that kind of guy.
Yeah. You know, everybody wants to do a good job. I'm sure the people at Race on Texas, they went into it wanting to do a good job. And I hope they have a better night tonight than they had last night. And I think they will.
Rick said the guy that does Red Dirt Raceway camera is really good. I don't know his name. I don't know who it is down there that does Red Dirt. But it's obvious. When you watch somebody that knows what they're doing, you can tell immediately what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And really, the really good ones, they get the wrecks, too.
Yes. Dean Mills, he seemed like he never missed a wreck.
Yeah.
He's so good. But these guys have been doing it forever.
Well, since the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I fired myself as a camera operator. I went over to Lake Ozark Speedway, tried to do a live broadcast
you
one night.
You got lost one
and
night,
and it was not good. With me running the camera, that was a much worse broadcast than what we saw last night at I-30 Speedway. So bad that I said, I'm firing myself as a camera operator. I'm not doing it again. I'm not good enough.
You haven't operated a camera since,
but
have
I you? I went into it wanting to do a good job.
Yeah.
I did a bad job. Mm-hmm. And it was worse than what we saw last night down at I-30, I can tell you that.
I would agree.
Yeah. So you said it was the worst broadcast ever last night. No, it was not the worst broadcast ever last night. It was not.
Kirk got so spun out, he couldn't find the leader. He just pointed the camera down and started looking for the leader.
Yeah, I lost the leader. Not good.
You can't lose the leader, Kirk.
And after I got home from that excursion
and
over
you watched
to
it?
Lake Ozark Speedway, I said, never again. I can't do it. I'm not good enough.
That's too funny.
That was the end of that.
Austin, what do you think about tonight's Short Track Nationals? Who are you putting your money on tonight?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's with the format that they have, it's really, really.
I don't know if they're using that same format.
Yeah, what is
last
the format?
Night. I don't know if they are or not.
Now, let me look. I can confirm that.
All right. But the format they used last night was a little non-typical.
And that really wasn't the Short Track Nationals
eight,
last
eight
night.
Eight heat race winners.
Right.
And eight high pass point guys. I don't know if they're doing that tonight or not.
Was this an event that was scheduled earlier and they postponed, rescheduled it? I think so. The Ralph Henson Memorial Race?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So this is separate and apart from the two-night Short Track Nationals.
We paid $5,000 to win, though.
Yeah. Good money.
Good money last night. Yeah.
Did that track surprise you last night, the condition that – I mean, it was
– No.
The curb was there, but do you think that'll change over the course of the next – I don't know what the weather's going to be like down there over the next 2 days.
I don't look for it to change much. I bet you they get a curb there tonight. Yeah.
And no mufflers, right?
No mufflers. The neighbors are loving that one.
Hey, we're not going to see Austin here in the morning, but one event we want to tell everybody about. Tomorrow night at I-80 Speedway is the Casey's Fall Brawl 360 Sprint Cars. It's their Malvern Bank 360
car. Are you going up there?
Austin, I'm thinking, yeah, driving up there. Listen to the Cyclones on the way up. Mm-mm. 6 o'clock start tomorrow night.
Yeah.
They got late models and a couple other classes up there. And one of the last events up there. They got 2 more weekends of racing at I-80 after tomorrow night.
What are the other weekends, Kirk? What do they got going on up there?
They've got their Cornhusker Challenge next Friday and Saturday. And then on October 14th, the World of Outlaws will be there. And then on the 15th, the very last event, the Malvern Bank Late Model Series on October the 15th.
How fitting. It should be that, right? No doubt. All right, well, folks, we appreciate everybody tuning in today on the show. Not the phone calls that we were hoping for. I'm always disappointed when people don't call in. I don't know why. You should call in on the show. It's Phone Friday. You know what's funny is people want to call in and they talk to Austin, but they don't want to come on air. Isn't that weird, Austin? People want to talk to you off the air, but they don't want to talk on air.
I'm pretty popular.
You're pretty popular. It's that haircut you got going on there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right, yeah, that's it, yeah. All right, we're gonna get out of here, and tomorrow we're going to do Track Talk right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hour number one is on Track Talk is on 810 WHB, and then hour number two, we do it right on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and racingboys.com. It's all live. It's 2 hours long. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow morning. It starts at 8 o'clock Central Time, and we hope that you will join us tomorrow morning. We know that you will. We appreciate all of our listeners listening in on Mostly Motorsports Monday through Friday, 12 noon Central Time. It's all brought to you, and Track Talk tomorrow is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on Track Talk.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.